How to Write a Mythos, One Tale at a Time. From Civil Wars, Whistleblower Tactics, Schematic Drafting, and the Finer Points of Sith Adoption, The Essential How-To Guide for the Engineering Jedi. By Jack Daw Cry. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of George Lucas. Content warnings available in description. Chapter 1. Sweet Seafoam Princeling, did you believe the lightning when it promised love? Zevulon Veers was scrolling through his comm, trying to get in the last bit of work before the party. Requests to meet the prince, requests for information from various news outlets or news outlets, requests for frankly stupid, ridiculous things, requests, demands for the prince to acknowledge his legitimate offspring that he rolled his eyes at every time. Luke barely had time to sleep, let alone develop enough of a bond with someone to sleep with. On top of that, he'd asked his boss the first time one of those claims rolled in, more than a little concerned, and Luke had laughed in his face and told him that any of the people who might have even potentially been able to make that claim wouldn't make it in public, and wouldn't be speaking basic if they did, which he tried not to think of that. He'd only mostly gotten over his crush, after all. So into the trash bin they went, but he sent a request to legal to keep an eye on it and take action if it approached slanderous territory, for good measure. Ignoring them was usually the best way to go about it, but it wouldn't do to let people forget that for all that the prince was the most affable of the royals, he still had the teeth of one, perhaps even the sharpest of them all. He sighed and shifted in his armor, the light bright mantle shifting around his shoulders in a movement that still startled him whenever he caught it out of the corner of his eyes. He knew he'd gotten the ball rolling on Luke adopting a unique but coherent aesthetic all his own to differentiate him and his from his father's, but Zev hadn't considered that it would mean he had to wear it as well, nor had he considered that said aesthetic would be one of shining silver, palest gold, and light bright cloth and leather, after his own whenever his nature bleached his void black clothes to the point of spotless white. Easier for Luke than having to constantly replace or re-dye his clothes, sure, but far from inconspicuous for the poor suckers like Zev, stuck in literal shining armor that mirrored his boss's. He couldn't even argue he didn't need the armor as just a secretary anymore, not with the everything. At least the mantle was cool, even if it did sometimes catch him off guard. And now he was waiting to escort Tyrion to the couture gala as the prince's right-hand man while said prince escorted the count, and his father, the regent, would escort the countess in order of importance. Or at least that's what Luke had said, and while he was so damn good the court etiquette lessons had stuck, he also suspected more than once that this was purely a ploy to put him and Tyrion together. Which, don't get him wrong, he wasn't complaining, but also there was a difference between writing sweetheart letters from the front with little trinkets attached and getting letters in return and confronting the reality of this strange space they occupied together. Not officially anything, but with the promise that if he made it out alive, Tyrion would still be waiting for him. Technically, they weren't even exclusive, and yet he knew he hadn't, he couldn't. And his role as manager of everything PR and reputation related ensured that he knew all the latest developments in every house of power, and he knew Tyrion hadn't been seen with anyone else either even once. Not even by the tabloids, which was a feat he didn't know was possible. Normally those rags could make anything out of anyone, even a cousin or something similarly disgusting. Every public appearance was properly escorted by a chaperone, every encounter with another eligible bachelor scrupulously chaste and proper, something he hadn't even asked for and had made sure to ask Tyrion about in a tizzy when it was pointed out to him. By Luke, of all people, the Gaul. Zev had almost regretted those etiquette lessons the prince and the princess had insisted on when he'd realized he'd been right. Even thinking about it brought a heat to his face, remembering the realization that Tyrion was only allowing there to be scandal if it was him. His boss had given him the rest of the day off to process it, and it had galled him further to realize he'd needed it. And he'd asked. He didn't want to be one of those guys who strung someone along for a courtship promised and never fulfilled, causing more scandal and strife in snubs and squandered opportunities for allegiance than there'd ever be for improper behavior. He'd really told Tyrion he didn't have to, and that it was all right to not wait for a soldier who could never promise a safe return, or worse, a person promised a public execution if ever caught. And then Tyrion had told him that even if he could possibly get a better match than the right hand of the third-in-line royal, he wouldn't take it. He simply wouldn't, and he wouldn't let anyone else think that either. And Zev didn't know what the fuck to do with that. He'd almost considered asking to start a courtship right there and then, but it was that even wise? There was no guarantee of his return, no promise he'd come back that he could swear to keep, but the intent to not courting was to not shackle Tyrion to such an uncertainty and allow him his freedom, which Tyrion didn't want. Fuck. There was a reason he was trying to work instead of wait. Waiting was bad for his poor, overcooked brain, just the idea of being in a courtship. It wasn't anything he'd ever anticipated being a part of his life. He knew what it was, how it worked, knew even that he moved in the right social circles for it to happen, but he was him. Even if his father was the favored general of Lord Vader, his social status had still been bottom rung amongst said social circle simply because of who he was and the opinions he held. No sane person with any kind of status for which courtship was the norm would have approached him, let alone accepted an offer. Never even fucking mind approached him with an offer. But now here he was, with the very heir to the Quadda dynasty waiting patiently, eagerly for him to present his suit, only held back from doing so himself by social norms. Or, well, laws of a kind, he supposed. It wouldn't be proper for a count, even one as powerful as a Quadda, to present a suit to the direct right hand of a royal, and they couldn't do that when he himself was responsible for maintaining a good reputation, and Quaddas were already clearly so favored by the royals and the envy of the other families and clans and houses, vying for the hand of someone within the inner circle of the royals would be nuclear. Fuck. Fuck. It had to be him. He knew that much. It was the only way not to create complete scandal and political upheaval in the position he now occupied, especially after Luke had snarled off all other bids and offers and made it clear he would be forcing no one into marriage, and neither would anyone else. His companions, servants, really, and there was no shame in being so, would court and mate when and where and whom they wanted, and anyone attempting otherwise would feel his wrath. After that, it had to be him. He would be the one to set precedent, he knew that much, and he had to do it right. But also he had to do right by Tyrion, and that, he didn't want to be the distant suitor off at war, never home and always at a remove, leaving his sweetheart behind and unable to seek affection elsewhere with the threat of scandal looming even if he could bring himself to give permission for him to seek it out. He didn't want to be, but did Tyrion? Fuck. Fuck. He'd have to ask. That meant acknowledging. Your Grace. Wait, who? Oh, right, that was him now. Yes, he answered, looking up and trying not to seem like he forgot his style of address again. The person who spoke was one of the Quadda servants, a Togruta valet he recognized as Junior, one of Tyrion's household who swept into a deep, almost playful bow. The Master requests if your Grace would be so kind as to join him in his chambers while he prepares for the gala. The valet invited in a perfectly even tone, and Zev, was he going crazy? Or was that a smile edging in on the corner of Junior's mouth? There are some matters that would benefit from your attention. Right, sure. Of course, he agreed, trying not to sound as frazzled as he felt. Please lead the way. The valet did just that, sweeping up out of the bow and crisply marching him down the statue peristyle of the courtyard to the double doors wreathed in green, framed by perfectly drooping bunches of baby blue flowers. The entrance to Tyrion's wing of the marble palace and the reason why his skull felt like it was stuffed with cooked noodles instead of a brain. The guards on either side of the double doors saluted him, keeping their spears straight as a ruler, not lowering their salute until he passed through. It was almost embarrassing with how clearly Tyrion's entire household knew and approved of them, treating him as a lord of the house coming home rather than a guest of rank. Either they all approved, or Tyrion had given explicit orders to treat him as such, and he didn't know which was worse or better. Actually, he didn't want to know at all, now that he thought about it. "Right this way, Your Grace," Junior directed him with a crisp gesture, the picture of professionalism, even as Zev abruptly felt like he was being led into a trap. The welcome, the almost smile on the valet's face, the force, what was everyone planning? "Of course," he answered faintly, trying not to give away how the nerves were setting in. "By your lead." Which was entirely unnecessary, because of course he knew the way to Tyrion's private quarters within his wing, of course, but for some reason it was necessary to ensure he got there, and Junior came to a halt in front of a familiar door embossed with ancient vessels sailing through rivers in a lush, overgrown forest, knocking in that specific way that rung through the thick wood without needing to do anything so unseemly as banging on it. "Master Quarra," he called softly as the doors slid open to a crack. "His Grace Zevulon Veers is here at your request." "Let him in," the familiar sweet voice of his not-quite-paramour sounded out from within the room, bright and cheery. "For the sake, Junior, let him in, please." The doors slid open further. With a pointed look, Zev was herded inside by the Togruta, the doors immediately closing behind him and leaving him in the same room as Tyrion, who was, fuck. He needed a moment. He needed a lot of moments. Tyrion was radiant, as always, seated with his back partially towards the door at the ornate boudoir inlaid with more polished, fossilized wood than Seth had known could exist in one place the first time he'd seen it. And in the flawless mirror set in a wreath of carved wood and fossilized stone, he saw Tyrion's smile beaming back at him, freckles highlighted with the blush almost permanently dusted over his face, which helped distract Zev from what he was wearing. A black... It felt wrong to call it a dress, with how little it left to the imagination, even if only from the back. The back, which was fully open and showed off what seemed an infinity of pale skin and delicate shoulder blades dusted with freckles like a firmament. Even in the reflection, the dress was only held up by two straps, leading to a thin collar of black cloth around a slender neck, resting over collarbones and leading to two soft cups barely covering his chest, the twin pink scars peeking out from either side. And that was all. He could manage that, probably, maybe, with time to prepare and brace himself. But the dress was... There were thin, golden chains hanging in delicate arches over his chest, over his back, and fuck.
"See something you like, Your Grace?"
Tyrion teased with a grin, bouncing on his stool a little so the chains draped over his ass and gave a cheery little chime. Force, he was dying. He was dying, and he hadn't made any funeral plans or trained a replacement for Luke, or... I take that as a yes. Tyrion answered his question with a playful look, cheeks flushing redder, but his smile saying how pleased he was with him. His eyes snapped up to Tyrion's face, his own feeling like it was on fire, and resolutely not staring at Tyrion's back while it was turned towards him. He was forced, damn it, he was a gentleman, or at least his dad had tried to raise him that way. He would not stare at... "Sorry," he choked out, keeping his eyes fixed firmly on Tyrion's in the mirror and not on what was on display in that dress that hid nothing. I shouldn't have stared. That was rude. The playful smile softened, and Tyrion partially turned around, looking directly at him, and... Oh, that angle wasn't any better. Eyes on his face forced, damn it, Veers. I mean... Tyrion began softly, and fuck, he was averting his eyes and blushing and shy, and why did he look good like that? He was pretty sure he wasn't supposed to. "I wouldn't want anyone else but you to look. If it was someone else, but no, you can look. cooked noodles. His brain was cooked noodles. There was no other explanation. He couldn't think. Oh, was the only sound his mouth could produce without his brain's input, and he, the words where they'd bounced off of the slot they were supposed to sink into, and now circling like a credit disc rolling away from grasping fingers, he, Tyrion, said he could like this, and he'd called Zev to his quarters. Oh. The credit disc faltered, wobbled, bounced. If you... Tyrion continued, fidgeting with a single red curl falling out from behind his ear, and, oh. Earrings, fuck, gods. If you want to look. White teeth bit into a plush lip highlighted with a delicate shimmer, and his brain. I wouldn't mind. Pale green eyes lined with black, dusted with something dark and shimmering. I really wouldn't mind. Oh, he wasn't dying. He was dead. Easy mistake to make, surely, but that definitely threw a wrench in things. He'd have to try and figure out if he could train a replacement from beyond the grave, because force, he must have inconvenienced his boss something awful, but... Your Grace? Came a soft call through the hazy alarm blaring through his cooked noodles, because there was no way he had a brain if he was dead. Zev, are you okay? I'm fine. He blurted out, knee-jerk and automatic, and did the dead have reflexes? He was pretty sure. Never been better, he reassured, still not fully aware of what he was saying because Tyrion shifted and there were cutouts in the dress, over his hips and down his thighs. Not a thigh slit, not a short hem. The fabric was gone. In a perfect oval, showing off the ivory skin underneath, and, ugh, freckles, even down there. What the fuck had he done in life to deserve this in death? Are you sure? The distant, pleasant voice asked him while he tried to remember how to move his eyes and head, and, oh, fuck, the skin was moving and legs standing up walking towards him. You don't look so good. There was one on the other side, too. Fuck, 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 fuck. And it went over his hips, and there was nothing but skin, and didn't there, wasn't there usually underwear on that skin? Hey, that soft voice whispered too near, but his cooked fucking noodles. A hand slipped onto his chin, reaching up, and lifted his eyes up just far enough to meet smiling pale green. You okay? Came out from between two shimmering lips, and he could barely think, because now he could see the shimmer applied to each freckle like a star, and... Beautiful, he whispered. The only thing echoing through his mind, and the only thing he could think of saying, because what else was he supposed to do? You're beautiful. Pale green eyes widened. And the firmament of freckles entered the dawn with a lovely pink illuminating the shimmering sky they created on the face he never wanted to stop looking at. Then they looked away, and he was about to whine in despair because no, but then white pearls of teeth peeked out again from behind plush, shimmering lips and bit them, and his cooked noodles went still and quiet. Thank you. That sweet voice whispered, delicate body shifting, and fuck. The chains caught the light and highlighted. They hung at the front, from hip to hip, over his eyes, on his face. God's damn it all to nine hells of ears. But then he saw how the eyes on said face roamed over him. And those teeth bit those lips again, and fuck, fuck, fuck. You are, The dawn over the firmament of freckles deepened into red, and he could never imagine he'd love that color so much. You are very handsome, too, Your Grace. Tyrion, gods, Tyrion, said, while meeting his helpless gaze again with dark pupils and a flush that spilled down his neck and onto his chest, and he could see it because that dress hid nothing. A soft sound. and his eyes snapped back up because, no, force damn it, he was going to be a gentleman if it killed him a second time. Pale green eyes searched his, and he didn't know what they were looking for, but he hoped they found it, found whatever they wanted, because how could he even think of denying them?
Do you,
Tyrion mumbled, fidgeting, the chains chiming softly through the quiet, tempting his eyes down, but he wouldn't.
Do you like the dress?
Did he like it? I'm pretty sure I'm dead, he answered honestly, because what else could he say? He couldn't even try thinking of something else, because then eyes closed and lips parted, shoulders shaking, with a laugh that enchanted and bewitched, and there was 100 other spells worth of magical. But then his eyes were looking at him again, still smiling, and Tyrion leaned in closer.
If you're dead,
he began with a playful smile, and he had to be, because how else could this exist?
Does that make me your angel?
Yes, he blurted out, no hesitation, because what else could he be? Evidently that wasn't an answer that was expected, or maybe even right, because pale green eyes widened. The dawn shifted to dusk in a red that was almost purple, and a delicate hand, fuck, draped in thin gold chains and delicate rings, came up to cover his mouth, and, fuck, what did he do?
Your Grace,
Tyrion squeaked out from behind his hand, eyes shyly glancing up and fluttering away again like birds too skittish to land.
You can't just say things like that.
Can't I? His voice sounded rough, foreign to himself, like he'd been choking on sharp stones, but it didn't matter because all of a sudden he felt like he could speak again.
I don't think I could say anything else while you're dressed like that.
Like an angel from one of the most forbidden blessings or dreams imaginable, like a vision he wouldn't admit to even under torture, like a dream that left him awake, panting and frustrated in all the best of ways. Force have mercy on him, because he had a feeling this angel wouldn't.
Well,
Tyrion stammered, hands fussing with his hair, face a darling matching shade.
That's all right, then, I guess.
That didn't sound promising. You guess? Tyrion made a flustered noise, and Tyrion had asked him in, and he had tried to be a gentleman, but had he overstepped anyway?
No,
Tyrion decided with averted eyes.
No, it's all right. It is. I do want you to look, but...
Oh, well, he could understand that, but...
But?
He prompted gently, trying to get the information he would need to act on. Tyrion shifted in place, body swaying as weight changed from foot to foot, and the chains swaying in time. No, focus.
But I didn't anticipate what it would be like to have you looking so handsome while you do it,
Tyrion admitted in a mumble, and Zev, how was he meant to respond to that?
Oh,
he said like a dumbass, then shook his head to jumpstart the cooked noodles and figure out something better to say than that, blushing as the words registered in the process.
Well, thank you, I think,
he replied, hand pulling through his hair and probably making a mess, but he something with his hands before they tied themselves in knots. Tyrion squeaked and hid his face behind both hands, Zev freezing as he did so because what was he supposed to do? And then pale green peeked up at him from between fingers and glanced over his body.
Oh.
He blushed and averted his own eyes, not knowing how to, well. The uniform didn't look bad. His boss was many things, but a bad designer wasn't one of them. And, well, he hadn't thought of how he would look in it in that way. But Tyrion,
I'm glad you like it,
he tried, hoping to offer a way out to the both of them from this.
I do,
Tyrion answered quickly, hands slipping down to only cover his mouth as he met Zev's gaze with his own, wide and flushed, pupils dark.
He flushed again.
and the shimmer brought out his freckles all the more against the dark background as eyes slipped over his shoulders, chest down, down, and up again.
"I really, really do," he admitted in a soft voice.
"Well, fuck. Is it appropriate for me to be the chaperone, then, Your Highness?" he asked, trying to clasp his hands behind his back to stop fidgeting.
Given both our reactions."
That was about the most diplomatic way he could say, given that I'm this close to actually literally drooling, but he kept his mouth clenched shut so he didn't have to.
"Oh, not in the slightest,"
Tyrion answered immediately, still flushed and flustered, but smiling up at him with a sweet bit of mischief in his eyes.
"But that was already going to be a scandal in this."
He emphasized the word with a twirl, and fuck, that was a low cut with more of the chains that draped over the swell of his eyes on his face.
"And I don't mind being a bit more of one," Tyrion finished,
bouncing on his feet as he finished the twirl too, and bouncing other things, eyes, face, force, fucking damn it, Veers. Then suddenly the sweet, mischievous grin turned shy, and Tyrion's eyes fluttered away like a skittish bird.
"Ah."
He tugged on a curl, other hand fidgeting with a chain, eyes on face.
"That is, if you're all right with having a scandal on your arm for the gala, Your Grace."
If he was all right with it? "Yes," he answered without a second of hesitation, not even thinking about it twice.
"Always, if it's you."
Tyrion blushed deeper, a shade he didn't know could exist in a blush or be so fetching, but...
"I wonder if you aren't asking something more here, Your Grace,"
Tyrion mumbled out, clearly trying to keep the urge to stammer on as strong a leash as he did, and, well, wasn't he?
"You want me to look,"
he began slowly, thoughts stitching together as he talked.
"Right?"
A shy nod was answer enough. "And you still want me to court you? If I'm not mistaken, right?" Eyes lit up and they looked at him like he had offered them a star instead of a potential bond to someone who could only be described as the newest of new money. And an upstart to boot. But also Tyrion had blushed when they'd first met years ago, and he'd been sweet during the flight, and now he was here, in a room alone with Zev, a scandal in and of itself, never mind the thing he was wearing and the things he was not.
"More than anything," Tyrion breathed,
and Zev swore he was breathing out pure hope.
"I would, yes. I still want that. I truly do."
He didn't know what to do with that kind of sincerity. He barely knew what to do here, where he could hardly think, but Tyrion wanted this, in spite of it all, and he wouldn't offer. Not right now, just before the gala, like this, but...
"I asked to wait," he began.
Words as unsteady as his breath, but sure this time.
I didn't want you to be tied to a soldier out on the front."
Tyrion leaned closer, eyes understanding, but saddened, longing. He never wanted him to look like that, but he knew he was a soldier. Even if he wasn't one that fought the battles his father did or his boss, he was a soldier. And he'd come close to a soldier's grave more than once. He would put that look on Tyrion's face, no matter his choice, either through rejection or offering what they both seemed to want. He breathed in deep.
"I've seen them," he began again, voice steadier than before, shriller than before. "War widows, war lovers, war spouses. People marked by war not because they fought it, but because someone they loved did. even if they're still alive.
Tyrion made a soft, understanding noise and shifted closer. Close enough to feel his warmth. Even through the thin gloves of his uniform, focused not now. I saw people waiting endlessly for the person they loved so far away from them without any promise they would come back. Or of comfort in the meantime. I know, Tyrion answered in a whisper, echoing the words they had both said the last time they had seen each other. I never wanted you to feel that loneliness, Your Highness, Sev continued to understanding eyes, nodding gently as a small, lithe body leaned against him, fragile against the glinting silver of the armor. Fragile but precious, and something he wanted more than anything. I never wanted to put you in a situation where all you could do was wait on that uncertain future where I come back from the war still largely intact, still the person you feel affection for. He swallowed. Or I come back at all. Nothing was guaranteed in war. Nothing at all. Even if you survived, you weren't guaranteed to live. Tyrion wrapped a slender, delicate hand around his arm, gazing up at him, the picture of an adoring, listening partner in a dress he couldn't think about, not now, in this moment. I didn't want to bind you to a ghost, he admitted, voice breaking on the very edges. I've seen how those partners get lonely, starve for affection. I don't even blame them when they go looking for it elsewhere, but the scandal. He breathed deep and batted away the images. I would survive it, Tyrion murmured softly, resting his head partially against Zev's upper arm, not even flinching at the cold metal pressing against bare skin. My family and I have survived worse. But I wouldn't want you to, he insisted, trying to make him understand. Not for me. I would, even if I could, allow you to look for warmth. Elsewhere, the papers, the public. They would never allow it. The soft, sweet voice agreed in a murmur, smiling up along his arm, barely any cloth to cover him, resting against him. Him in full armor that marked him as someone who would face a painful, drawn-out public execution if captured, broadcast to the whole galaxy if so. And yet here Tyrion Quarra was. The whole galaxy at his feet if he wanted it. But he was leaning against and looking up at him. Zev Veers. Someone who got lucky more than anything else. I know. I don't care. I wouldn't allow it. Sev admitted in a hush, more than a little ashamed of that truth. Knowing how lonely it would be for Tyrion, knowing the scandal and resentment that could and would be from the potential suitors he would turn down at Zev's request, even if it was only a courtship and nothing more. Knowing that he would leave Tyrion with the uncertainty, the lack of attention and affection, the promise of a courtship only at a distance for as long as the war lasted, a courtship he could only propose if he was the only one allowed to court and no one else. A courtship wasn't an engagement, wasn't a relationship, not to the houses of power around the galaxy. It was a promise to try at most, to see if it worked. Engagement, that was the promise of no one else until a decision was made, but courtship. But Zev was new money, an upstart, whatever you wanted to call it. He imagined himself dating, not having to care about any of this beyond whether or not they liked each other, just him and his partner. He imagined so much different in his life. But Tyrion was of a different world, and he was now too. And in this world, dating was something that carried no weight, no promise, nothing but scandal. It would be a courtship, and it would be a jealous one in the eyes of everyone else, with him not, he could not share. Not like that.
He wasn't built like that, and it was.
Tyrion made a curious sound, and Zev sighed. He couldn't offer without being clear. It wasn't fair. To anyone. But especially to Tyrion.
If I'm courting you, he explained in a voice that was likely too slow, but he couldn't get it out faster. I can't be one of many.
He made a frustrated sound. I thought that I would date. He blurted out, eyes on the window, unable to look at the most beautiful being he'd seen in his life, hopefully pressed up against him.
I was born a commoner, still am a commoner in so many ways. I thought that I would date.
Thought that if he offered his heart to someone, anyone, it would be him and them against the world. If only for how long it lasted. That them, looking for warmth with another, would be called cheating and not part and parcel of what courting was. A search for an advantageous partner, with no sane person being willing to block out the potential of better offers just because they were testing the waters with the current best choice, and he understood that. He really did. Tyrion would have grown up knowing no different, but he'd been a commoner only a few short years ago. About as likely a prospect for a courtship as a particularly amusing animal, he hadn't thought about it. He'd thought that he would date.
I understand, Tyrion whispered quietly, still pressed against him, not moving away. It's a different way of doing it, isn't it?
Very, he agreed, trying not to spiral.
I'm sorry, Your Highness, I'm so, so sorry, but if we court, I can't share. I just can't. It would be my courtship and no other, and you would be one of those war lovers. You would live alone, and I don't know if I can ask that. If I even should. There were so many arguments against this idea, so many. There were arguments for, he knew there were, but right now all he could think of were the ways this could blow up in both their faces. The backlash it could create. The resentment of leaving his partner alone and forbidding them from considering other courtships, the loneliness he would inflict, could he even ask? Tyrion made a soft, thoughtful noise. Your Grace, would you look at me?
And how could he deny that request? Looking down was seeing everything he could possibly want. Tyrion was, from the day they'd met, he'd only grown more beautiful, had already thought he was beautiful, even in those God's awful school uniforms, and he wanted more than anything, and here Tyrion was, calling him so sweetly by this new title that it almost felt like a pet name, dressed in something that he couldn't even think about, but was allowed to look. Tyrion pressed against him, hands delicately twined around his arm in a too intimate echo of what his role as a chaperone should be. Fully trusting, while being an intentional temptation, as Zev was taller, stronger, and tougher than he'd ever been since they'd met. Tyrion had grown, too, more confident, cunning, ruthless, and fierce than the timid cub he'd met could ever dream of being, a full lion's mane of courage and beauty more than earned. And still he was soft and sweet with Zev. And he still allowed himself to be, as he put it, the delicate prince to Zev's shining knight. He'd never really felt like a knight, but with Tyrion here like this, he could almost see it.
You have to know, Your Grace, with your position at the prince's side, what I've been, well...
He hesitated for a moment, blushing fiercely as he averted his eyes before continuing.
Everything about me, I suppose, at least over the last year, that felt like something he shouldn't admit to.
But they were both adults here, so he nodded, if a bit reluctantly.
Then you should know I've been avoiding being seen like that, that is, with other potential suitors, I mean. I have, he agreed, chewing the inside of his cheek, if only for a moment. I never asked you to, he added softly, needing to know that he, even if he couldn't, well, if they were to court, he wouldn't have objected when there wasn't a promise of even that. He was too jealous by far for the games of the Houses of Power, but he wasn't that awful. I know, Tyrion agreed just as softly. I wanted to. That's... Oh. Oh. He couldn't help but breathe it out, Tyrion laughing soft as a feather. I know how the games work too, Your Grace, he teased with a grin and a blush. Zev about to say that he knew that, but hushing when Tyrion continued after only a breath. But you have to know I wasn't always the perfect player either. That I dreamed of a courtship, not befitting my station. A delicate prince and a shining knight. Oh, I wanted to be... I suppose I read too many old tales when I was little, Tyrion continued, flustered, unaware of the turn Zev's thoughts had just taken. Where a knight that goes off questing to win the hand of his prince, and the prince waits for his return, knowing he will come, and knowing the knight is doing it just for him. Tyrion breathed heavy for a moment, eyes bright with something hopeful, but something passionate, too. A dream long held, but put away with all childish things when growing up until... I wanted that, he admitted in a hush. It's so childish, but I wanted to be that special to someone. To be the only one they want. And no matter how far the distance or how treacherous the path, maybe it's demeaning or weak, or... But I wanted it. I wanted to be that prince in the castle waiting for his knight, knowing he was out there, and knowing he wanted to come back. Shining pale eyes looked up at him, hopeful and wanting. I dreamt of that, Your Grace. That was... Oh. Oh. And now here you are, Tyrion murmured quietly, shifting until his full body was pressed against Zev's, small and delicate and sweet, trusting fully in his knight in shining armor. Offering me everything I've ever dreamt of. Zev swallowed, trying to get his thoughts in a row. He didn't think he'd ever been anything anyone dreamt of, but now, here... I think, he rasped out through a throat that suddenly felt like it was full of wood wool. That we have a lot to discuss after the gala, Your Highness. Oh yes, please, Your Grace, Tyrion agreed in a single breath, and Zev was... He was a gentleman, and he was going to act like one too, but that voice, Tyrion had said he wanted... had acted and tempted, and Zev was many things, but he wasn't blind. He could see how much Tyrion wanted. And he'd been scared, ashamed, for a very long time. And Zev had made his choices, and made Tyrion's choices for him too, even if he hadn't meant to. But here Tyrion was, dressed to impress and telling him how dearly he wanted this thing Zev had been terrified to offer him in case it hurt. And maybe he had waited long enough. He breathed in deep and cleared his throat, trying to scrape together all his courage and hoping it was enough. Before that, though, he stated, weighing every word carefully, because he had to get this right. He had to. No, not quite. He stepped back, Aubrey mourning the loss of that slim form pressed against him, but catching Tyrion's hands before they could fully slip off his arm in his own, holding them as delicately as he could and hoping he could live up to the image Tyrion would be seeing.
hoping that he, that they, would make it through the test about to come. Holding slim, delicate hands clad in thin, golden chains in his own larger hands, covered in thin leather, he looked into the surprised gaze of pale green eyes and hoped they would get this right. Tirin Mirane Tewalo of House Quara, he stated in a steady voice, knowing he was doing the right thing this time. A Zevulun Viz, right hand aide to His Imperial Majesty Luke Lars Vader, Prince of the Dawn. I ask if you will accept my suit in courtship, to the exclusion of all others, until it either dissolves or ends in engagement. He stumbled over the last word, it almost sticking in his throat, but no, this time he'd do it right. And the smile that answered him in response was all the confirmation he needed to know he had. Bright as the moon, lovely and sweet, Tirion beamed up at him with his eyes shimmering like the spots of shimmer marking each and every one of his freckles, and the firmament of his face that Zev hoped he would get a chance to know as well as he knew his own skin. Your Grace, Tirion breathed out, I thought you would never ask. I accept, full-hearted, with open eyes. The breath he let out was far from the dignified image he was probably supposed to have, but Tirion giggled while pressing himself back up against him, wrapping Zev's arms around himself with a little twirl as he spun into his chest, smiling from ear to ear. No taking it back now, he teased. And Zev breathed out a laugh, shaking his head. Never, Your Highness, he promised. I wouldn't be much of a knight if I did now, would I? Tirion hummed and tilted his head back to look him in the eyes from where he was pressed up against him, reaching slender arms up to loop around his neck. Tirion, Your Grace, he said through a smile. It's been a long time, and I've dreamt of hearing you call me that again. Tirion, he tasted, finding it as sweet as he remembered and barely believing he got the privilege of saying it again. Then I hope you'll call me Zev again as well. Even through his armor and uniform he felt and saw Tyrion's scantily clad body shiver, smile gaining a delicate edge of teeth as he brought his hands down to trace the etching on Zev's armor plates. I don't know, he mused, tone more than teasing. I do like your new title as well, Your Grace. He grinned up at Zev, something vulnerable but excited in his eyes. And this new outfit of yours? He growled playfully, the influence of his occupation and his commander's during it shining through, much to Tyrion's seeming excitement as his pupils blew wide. And I suppose I shouldn't comment on what you are wearing, should I, Your Highness? Oh, please don't talk like that, Tirion breathed, eyes dark, body going limp and helpless against him. Come make me stay in my dress, even if it's a black. What? Stain? The question was out of his mouth before he could even think of it. And whatever he had expected in response, it wasn't for Tirion to blush, beat red in an instant. I can't exactly wear anything under it, Zev, Tirion admitted in a mumble that wasn't quite pure embarrassment, but certainly a good percentage of it. So if you get me excited, that was... Fuck. You're going to kill me, Zev stated in a tone far calmer than the cacophony raging through his head as that image burned itself into his mind and memory. You're going to kill me. Our courtship will be over before we can even announce it because I'll be dead and buried in the ground. Tirion giggled in response, embarrassed, nervous, but pleased and satisfied too, smiling up at him like a damnably cute cat that got the cream. Right now, I don't think of Tirion with cream. Fuck. He groaned and closed his eyes while Tyrion's giggles grew louder, trying to rein himself back in because he was supposed to be a chaperone for, damn it, not the very thing he swore to defend Tyrion's honor against.
Well, if you survive this evening, my dear knight, I think I'll have to see about offering you a princely reward, won't I?
Tyrion teased through a heavy blush but radiant in his smile.
After all, what is a knight to quest for without a prize to win?
Is that then what you dreamt of being? He teased right back. Even as his head was swimming with the implications of that bit of innuendo, allowing his hands to pull the delicate prince a bit tighter against himself. A prize to be taken. Tyrion shivered against him, but his smile never faltered, even as it gained a hint of implication.
By a handsome knight such as yourself, he murmured, purred, really. At least once a week. Which is why I hope you can keep your hands to yourself until it no longer matters if I stay in my dress.
That was a lot. But he was learning to roll with the punches, mostly. My delicate prince has a plan, then, he replied, proud his voice didn't crack, even as he was slowly getting overwhelmed with the reality of holding Tyrion dressed like this so close to him. While he spoke of staining his dress and being a prize. And all of it hinting to Zev not only being allowed to look, but impossibly also to touch. Does it involve keeping your hands to yourself as well, or? Tyrion flushed all over again, hiding his face against his chest for a moment while whining out a soft sound. And Zev marveled at the fact that even as Tyrion refused to look at him, he still sat sweetly limp and helpless in his arms, almost fully supported by Zev and nothing else.
I'm trying, Tyrion whined.
And Zev couldn't help but laugh at the audible pout in his voice.
Why do you have to be so damn handsome, though? It's making it harder than it needs to be.
A brief silence fell where Zev debated saying anything, but then Tyrion softly thunked his head against his armor.
Don't say a word, he grumbled. I didn't mean it like that.
Not a word, he promised, proud of how he kept his laughter out of his voice, even as Tyrion huffed against his armor.
Anyway,
Tyrion grumbled, Zev allowing him to pointedly change the topic without comment like a good courtship partner ought to, even as he grinned silently.
Here's my plan. We go to the gala. I get to make everyone green with envy at being your only courtship. We give everyone something to talk about for the next 2 months. And then you take me back here and tell me to take this off, and I...
We'll see after that. Zev reassured him warmly while Tyrion slowed to a stuttering halt, hiding his face in his hands again while whining softly. I won't pressure you into anything you don't want, I promise.
I know,
Tyrion mumbled against his chest, eyes peeking up through his fingers.
That's why I hoped it would be you.
Oh, that, well, oh. How did he respond to that?
I hoped it would be you too,
he responded, naked honesty. Tyrion ducking his head again with a squeak and a pleased flush, sweet and delicate and soft in his arms and fuck. Was it horrible that he already wanted the gala to be over?
We'll talk tomorrow, he promised,
mentally trying to forgive himself for delaying the talk from this evening to after whatever Tyrion has planned. He was a gentleman, but he was also only mortal, and he, well, at least Tyrion was intentionally tempting him. Even if nothing happens tonight.
There better be,
Tyrion grumbled mutinously against his chest.
I won't stand for chivalry getting in the way of me being...
Right, he interrupted in a too bright voice, needing to not hear that and lose the last bit of his self-control.
I suppose we should head for the gala, then.
He let himself loosen up a bit and smiled down at the delicate prince he couldn't believe he was allowed to hold like this. We have an announcement to make, after all. Tyrion smiled back. All sweet warmth and eager excitement.
That do we do, he agreed, and froze.
Oh, that couldn't be good. Is there something wrong? Please don't let him have fucked this up already. But Tyrion blushed as deep as he ever had and shifted against him, refusing to meet his eyes.
There is a something, he admitted, fingers nervously tracing the etchings in his armor. Gone? He encouraged, trying not to show his own nerves and hoping it wasn't anything too bad.
I didn't know if you were going to offer any time soon,
Tyrion admitted in flustered, shy mumble, still not meeting his eyes.
So I asked my valets to leave early and hopefully have the excuse of asking you for help with something that might convince you to offer.
Oh, well, that didn't sound too bad.
Well, what do you need help with?
Maybe an accessory or to get him some kind of perfume from a high shelf. But Tyrion glanced at him with something almost close to excited embarrassment and gently pushed out of his embraced hands, reaching behind him and pulling up two thin black ribbons, shimmering with a satin sheen. Then, before he could ask anything else, he turned around and glanced over his shoulder with a shy grin, as Zev couldn't help but stare at his bare back and, no, eyes on his face, eyes on his face.
Would you help me lace up, Zev? Tyrion asked,
holding out the two satin ribbons to the side, and looking for all the world like he hadn't just asked Zev to willingly walk to his own gallows. But Tyrion believed him a knight, capable of surviving the most dangerous quests to come back to his delicate prince and claim him as his prize. And damned if he wasn't going to deliver on that dream. Taking the thin ribbons in hand, he resigned himself to an evening of frustration for him and dramatics for everyone else. But at least he would have his delicate prince.
As you wish, Your Highness.
The text of this story is available on AO3. Theme music written by Jackdaw Krai, Sputnik, and Sam Gabriel. If you would like to commission me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as links to my Patreon page, to which I hope you will consider subscribing to support me, and my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.